Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres get ready to wrap up their latest series against the Reds, and Mike Grace is back again, obviously getting so much time on the show because of the respect and reverence he shows for producer/booker, Blooper.
I don't make mistakes, I'm in the lead.
But we're lucky to be on the air, but he doesn't make mistakes.
Mistake is his middle name.
And even though it's way back Wednesday, Kurt Bavakwa's bringing the new stuff.
I got stuff for you. Geek stuff for you.
Fan graphics?
No.
Okay.
I went even deeper.
You went deeper than fan graphs?
Yeah, which is hard.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Kurt Bavakwa.
It's way back Wednesday here in downtown San Diego at Petco Park. Got one of the legends of the brown and orange, Kurt Bavakwa, ready to talk Padres baseball.
Yeah, got to turn down my phone. I don't want my phone going off during the show.
No, we don't want that.
Not at all. I'm kind of excited about today. Last night was fun.
Last night was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
And sorely missed games like that we haven't had a whole lot of those this year. We had a few. You think back to the Bumgarner game really early in the year. But to have that happen on a kid's major league debut, that was a lot of fun last night.
I think we used to call it laughers.
Yes.
And it was certainly a laugher. It got to where it was just grinning.
Got a little serious. Yeah. A little serious there at the end.
I'm thinking to myself, Kimbrel's not really going to get in this game, is he?
He was one walk, one single away.
A couple of more runs needed to be scored, I think. Tie-in run wasn't going to come to the plate without facing Craig Kimbrel.
No, but one more runner, tie-in run would have been on deck, safe situation. So I think you see him there.
Just to
be safe. I think so. Well, it's an easy save for him. It should be, in theory, an easy save for him. Come in, get one out, still up five runs, but it got a little hairy. But overall, that was fun. A lot of runs early in the game. Colin Ray makes his major league debut, really sharp. Fun for him, fun for us as fans. You see him, he gives up the single, the walk to lead off the game. Okay, uh-oh, little
exactly.
Trouble. But then he gets right out of it with the double play and then the fly out there. That was really cool to see. That had to settle his nerves, that ground ball right to him. He makes a nice throw to second base to start the double play.
It going back to him was the part that I think really calmed him down more than anything else. More than getting the double play. But him being able to turn, throw to second base and make that play and make a good throw. Do you realize how many times that goes bad? It goes awry. Pitchers work on that all the time. You start working on it on the first day in spring training or the second day, and you continue throughout the course of spring training. And the pitchers all hate it. But you know what? That's the kind of time it pays off right there. Colin Ray, like you said, Phillips gets a base hit. He walks the next hitter. And then he's got one of the hottest hitters in the National League, one of the best hitters in all of baseball at the plate, gets a comebacker to him, and he completes a double play and gets out of the inning. That really calmed him down.
It's funny. We talked to Ian Kennedy yesterday and asked him about his big league debut, and he said, the thing I remember most, he said he couldn't feel his legs for the first inning for one, but he said the speed at which just the ball comes off the bat, that the way the guys whip the ball around the infield, he says it's so much faster than it is in the minor leagues. And for him to be able to take that comebacker like that, make the play, it probably really did calm his nerves, but it had to be a bit of a culture shock from what Ian was telling us, and you have that experience as well, how different it is from the minor leagues to the major leagues.
There really is a difference, and that's one of the things that we promote with the younger kids when we do any coaching, is the speed of the game, because it slows the game down when you get into the actual game, if in fact you speed the game up during practices and workouts. And kids don't quite understand it when it's happening, but they'll understand it when they get older, and I'm sure that that Colin will understand. He understands it now because it is speedy. I mean, it's a speedy little game when you get out there.
Speedy, to say the least. Not only does he go out, he goes five innings, a very solid outing. I think they took him out just to be safe and get him that first big league W, but he goes out in his first at-bat. Singles. Unbelievable.
It was.
He said there was only one spot that his bat was going to touch the ball. He got lucky. Dropped it over the shortstop's head. But first at bat, comes up with his first big league hit, making it an even more special night.
And then the next two at bats look like he didn't have a clue. I mean, I'm expecting him to go three for three, right? I'm expecting him to swing the bat every single time. and the balls were just on the middle of the plate away, and he didn't like that too much. But he got his base hit. Maybe that was all that mattered.
Oh, it really was all that
mattered. He got the ball in the dugout. That was it.
He gets to score a run on his own cause, and a really special day. 6'5 right-hander, what did you see from him stuff-wise? Fastball, curveball, a little bit of a cutter, I guess, and a split change. What did you like from his arsenal?
The cutter. I liked the way he threw it. I liked the location of it most of the time. It was located almost perfectly, and that was an impressive pitch. If he can continue to throw that and locate it the way he did last night, he's going to be a good pitcher at this level. And I also like the fact that him and Austin Hedges work together with balls up in the strike zone. I like that a whole lot.
You've talked a lot about that for all the Padres pitchers this year.
I have. And if you notice, they did it from the first inning on last night. It's really the first time that I've seen Austin do it as quickly as he did it with Colin last night. And I think it just goes to prove that they've worked together a little bit, because he felt comfortable doing it, and he knows that Colin can get away doing it. And it's not a pitch that you can just go out there and throw. I mean, you have to practice it. It's no different than trying to keep a slider low and away. If you're trying to keep a ball up in the strike zone, just the catcher holding his glove up doesn't mean that the pitcher's going to throw it up there, because he's not used to that location. And if you miss, naturally you want to miss high. You don't want to miss belt high. So it's a great pitch. It's a great pitch for a young kid. And to see somebody that has the confidence in throwing that ball like he did last night, that really excited me. I liked it.
And a taller pitcher has a bit of an advantage with that pitch, right? He can kind of come from a higher angle, and it doesn't look like it's going to be quite that high, because the hitter's going to think it's going to come down, but it never really comes down because he's coming from a high
That's
angle.
A very good point. And I never looked at it that way, because I wasn't a tall pitcher.
No, I think back to Chris Young, who threw a high fastball really well. He got a lot of strikeouts on that pitch because he never had great stuff. He'd throw high 80s, low 90s, but he did get strikeouts, and he's one of the guys that I really remember throwing that high fastball, like you've talked about so much for these guys.
Hey, if you've got hitters that see that ball really well up here, their bats are so used to hitting down on the ball. They're so used to hitting off tees. You don't see a lot of guys hitting off of a high tee. And as long as they keep that tee down, that high fastball is going to be an effective pitch.
You mentioned Austin Hedges. It was his second straight start at catcher the night before Norris had played first base, but I think that was significant in that he has seen Colin Ray. There probably was a comfort level for there, and I'm sure that had to help calm Colin down, give him some sense of comfort, a guy catching him, knowing his stuff a little better than probably Derek Norris, who Colin Ray wasn't in big league camp, so he probably didn't have a chance to work with any of these guys.
Well, I'm sure that was the reason Pat Murphy put him behind the plate last night. It was a comfort level. He's worked with him before. He knows how he pitches. He's got an idea of his stuff. He's got an idea of what to call in game situations, and it really worked out last night. Colin did a heck of a job.
He did a heck of a job, and a lot of that had to do with the offense. The offense really came to life last night, got the big early runs. And, I mean, that could have been an unbelievably big first inning if it hadn't been for Billy Hamilton. He made two tremendous plays, going into the gap on Alonso and then going into the right or into the left center gap. That could have been a 7-0 lead for the Padres without any outs if it hadn't been for him. Now, he doesn't have a great arm, and they scored on his arm, but he made two tremendous plays. The Padres are hitting the ball all over the field.
I tell you what, Billy Hamilton's pretty impressive. Somebody has to take him and spend a lot of time with him and try to make him a Ralph Garr type of a hitter, where he beats the ball down into the ground. And if that happens, he could lead the league in hitting. He's that fast to where if he makes contact with the ball and keeps it out of the air, he's going to be one heck of a hitter. And then once he gets some confidence, then he can go back to trying to be a line drive and trying to hit the ball in the gap a little bit. But I think if he hits the ball on the ground, if he doesn't hit it right at somebody, he's got an opportunity to get an infield hit.
He really does, and he's got to find a way also to get on base. The on-base percentage is really low. He's not walking. But that obviously has to come with some competency at the plate. You're not going to get balls out of the strike zone if pitchers are going to attack you if you're not going to put the ball in play where they can't get you out.
The thing that's amazing to me is the number of steals that this young man has with the on-base percentage that he has. If he had another 50 or 60 points on an on-base percentage, and that's not really a lot of hits and a lot of walks.
It's like one or two a week, basically, when you boil it down.
That's exactly right. And if you think about that, based on his success rate on stolen bases, I mean, he's had 80 to 100 stolen bases. Easy. And that's being a 240, 250 hitter.
No, he had 100. He had 100 stolen base season in the minors, which is basically a month shorter than the big league season. So that tells you what kind of speed this guy has when he can get on base. But obviously, the major league level is much different trying to get on base than it is at AAA.
He's got some speed that's pretty impressive. I think they came out with a stat last night that he was running 26 miles an hour on one of the stolen bases that he did, or one of the steals.
That's unbelievable.
That's fast.
That is really fast. You can't even run that fast in a school zone.
You'd get a ticket. I like that.
Can you imagine?
That's good.
He gets pulled over. Yeah, no. No, he's a special player. He's got a lot to work on. And it's kind of exciting because the Padres do have a young guy in AAA we've talked a lot about the last couple of days, Travis Jankowski. Now, I don't think anybody in the game is as fast as Billy Hamilton, but he brings the same type of game and elements to the team, and you could be looking at your next center fielder for the Padres. Very good defensively, steals bases, can lead off, prototypical leadoff hitter. Actually might have a little more power than Billy Hamilton, which would be good. Get on base a little more, hopefully. But it's kind of exciting to see a player like that. It makes you think about what could happen in the future.
It is, and I think we've seen a couple this year at Petco Park, and that's Jock Peterson from the Los Angeles Dodgers and Billy Hamilton from the Cincinnati Reds that are excellent defensive center fielders. We've got a good one here, actually, in Will Venable. And I think Melvin Upton Jr. does a pretty good job out there, too. And then we've got a guy waiting in the wings that's just itching to get back off the DL right now, Will Myers, that things will get.
Needs more reps.
It'll get interesting when he comes back on how Pat Murphy's going to do things. I'm anxious to see it.
No, it's going to be really interesting, and there's so many variables. Corey Spangenberg's going to come back pretty soon. He had a couple hits last night for El Paso. He's probably a couple days away. Will Middlebrooks is probably going to be back at some point. So you're going to have several infielders, several outfielders. You've got a couple young guys, whether it's Jankowski or Reimer Liriano, Tommy Medica, Jake Gobert. I mean, there's guys on the 40-man that could be here in September that you might try to figure out what their role is on this team next year or build some trade value for them.
That's exactly right. Tommy Medica is a guy that's kind of surprised me that we haven't seen his name too much this year. And I really expected him to go down and just start walloping the ball. But he's kind of a streaky hitter, and he needs to learn how to get out of a bad streak so that it's not has any longevity to it, and that he can keep a high batting average a little bit higher than it has been, because those bad streaks have been the thing that's hurt him the last couple of years.
Going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little more about last night's game, a little more of the offensive heroes of last night, Jed Jerko with a big game and a couple other guys. Want to remind everybody to send in your tweets, your questions, your comments using the hashtag PadresSH, or we've got the live chat going, Padres.com/social hour. We always want to hear from you. If you got questions for Kurt, he'll always answer them, keep you up to date on everything that's going on with the Padres. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order, fresh fruit smoothies, as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park at the Park at the Park or the Mercado. They're also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Coming right back, right after the break, here on Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres went 2 in a row against the Reds, back to try to get the sweep today. Fun game last night, a lot of runs being scored, a lot of offense. Pretty much the whole lineup got into the act last night. Biggest night by Jed Jerko. He hits the 2-run home run, has a bases-loaded single there, drives in 4 runs. Good to see for him. It's always good to see him driving the ball. I think that's when, obviously, he's at his best because he can hit the ball hard in a long way. But to see what he did last night, that was good. That was a good sign. Plus, he got a walk, so always good.
And if you notice what started it, a line drive the other way.
We've talked so much about that.
We sure have. And I think that's just proof in the pudding that if you stay on the ball, you're going to be much better off as a hitter. And for all you young hitters out there, as you watch these big leaders, you'll see Matt Kemp. You're going to see Justin Upton do it at times where they know that the pitcher is going to go outside on them, and they just hit the ball the other way. And speaking of outside, the easiest pitch to hit the other way as a hitter is actually a ball in, as crazy as that might sound, because you can inside out it, and by doing it that way, you're letting the ball travel a lot closer to you.
I got to take your word for it. Yeah. So I haven't had to face any real pitching in several years. So I'm going to take
me either.
No. You don't go out there and take your hacks against some of these guys?
I go out there and take my hacks against Iron Mike every once in a while when my kids go to the batting cage.
There you go.
But they just sit there and laugh at us.
No, oh, I don't believe that.
Joe Morgan and I got in there one night.
Is that right?
Yeah. We made fools of ourselves.
That's fun.
All the kids are going, yeah.
You played in the big leagues?
I played in the big league. This guy's in Cooperstown? Oh, we're going to get there easy.
Hey, tell them they're going to get old someday too. All right,
that's
it happens
true.
To all of us.
Older.
A couple guys that have been hit swinging the bat well. Yonhever Solarte goes 2-for-4, scores 3 runs. Austin Hedges continues to kind of pick up the bat here at the major league level. He gets another couple singles there. Good to see. And then Yonder Alonso, a guy who has been struggling a little bit lately, drove the ball. Like we said in the first inning, he goes deep into the right center gap, doesn't get a hit out of it, but he does come back with 2 more hits, a double, getting the ball in the air. He's been rolling over on it a lot lately, so hopefully it's a little bit of a turning point for him, some positivity there.
I would certainly think, if I was the Padre organization, about keeping him on the left side of the plate.
Talking about Solarte?
Yes.
Forget the switch hitting.
Forget about right-handed. He swings the bat too good from the left side of the plate. When he switches it over, he just doesn't seem like the same hitter. He pulls off the ball. He turns over on it, things that we talk about all the time. And if pitchers just keep the ball on the outside part of the plate on him when he's hitting right-handed, they're going to get him out. He's got to hit mistakes. And sometimes you're going to go to the plate and you're going to get your mistake pitch and you're going to foul it off, or you'll hit it hard at somebody. But most of the time, you're only going to get a couple of those per game. And if you don't take advantage of them, you have some issues.
That's interesting. I wonder – I'm always curious because it hasn't happened too often where guys have just quit switch hitting and gone one side. I always think of like JT Snow, who was like a really good hitter from the left side, but he continued to switch hit. Everybody always said he should stop switch hitting. At what point do they actually either push him into that decision or make that decision for them? You know, or on their own, I guess I should say. But that's, you know, something they've probably been doing most of their lives, felt like they had success, but then it gets really hard at the big league level.
Well, I think that the decision can be made for you if, in fact, the major league club starts platooning you against certain pitching and you're realizing that the reason that's happening is because you're not swinging a bat from a certain side of the plate as good as you are from the other. So you just make that decision on your own. You know, there were times in this year where I would have rather seen Alonso and Amarista and Solarte go to the plate against left-handed pitchers than either being pinch hit for or them switching over to the other side of the plate in Solarte's case.
I agree. I think, you know, there's a lot of diving into the numbers and lefty-righty splits, but sometimes you just kind of got to go with the baseball side of it, right?
You got to go to where you feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But numbers have always played a part in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've gone overboard now with the amount of stuff that's out there, the amount of information that's out there. You always take information in, but numbers have always been a big part of the game of baseball, and it's going to remain that way forever because that's what the game is all about.
Oh, yeah, it's only going to get more and more as people figure out more algorithms.
Yeah, exactly.
What else can happen? Don't ask because
yeah,
it's going to
no
happen.
Kidding.
They're going to figure out a better way to measure defense over time, I think. That's what's the newest things is zone ratings and things like that. Having a better understanding of what a player brings value-wise on defense, I think that will continue to get better. I don't know if they can do much more with the pitching and the hitting stats, but defense is probably where it's going to grow. Speaking of defense, some good defense behind Colin Ray last night. You had the play with Will Venable up against the wall. Pretty close to being a home run. He casually just pops his glove up and gets it right at the top of the wall. But want to talk about Alexi Amarista, and it's going to be our Montalvo smooth play of the game. Shot kind of up the middle. He gets a quick glove there, tough hop. Makes a real nice play to keep the guy off the base there. So really nice play by Alexi Amarista.
He picked it, didn't he?
He really did.
The thing that surprised me was he came up and got rid of the ball so quickly. I mean, the runner couldn't have been halfway to first base yet when he threw that ball over the first. That was Ivan De Jesus Jr.,
right,
whose dad used to play shortstop for the Chicago Cubs. So it's he's a pretty good little player and hits the ball hard, but Lexi just turned it around on him right there.
That was the Montalvo Tequila smooth play of the game. Triple distilled, exceedingly smooth, and locally owned. Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets crowd. Good to see the defense behind the young player. We've seen some of the struggles the defense has had behind Andrew Kasher and things like that, you don't want to put a young player at a disadvantage. You got to give him every advantage to succeed just to get past his own nerves, much less having to play up for the defense that might have failed behind him. So that was good to see.
It was good to see. These guys can play. You know, Andrew's just run into some bad luck this year. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, balls that are hit hard that are just out of the reach of players. And then a couple of errors early on. I think really we're still talking about the errors that happened early on. And, you know, I think Andrew also contributed to the letdown that went on by just not buckling up his britches a little bit more and going out and getting hitters like he has the last four or five starts. He's just done an outstanding job. And he's really said to everybody on the team and the manager and coaches in the dugout that, hey, if these guys behind me are not going to get it done, I'm just going to do it myself. In that particular instance, I think he still has a lot of confidence in his teammates, but he's learned that there's times where he's got to step it up and take things into his own hands, and he's done a great job at that.
He really does, and I mean, that's the only way you can go about that. You can only do so much about what happens behind you. You can only control what you can control, and so I think that'll be that next step for him. We've talked so much about his development and Tyson Ross's development, whether they can make that next step into ace, because they've got the stuff. It's just all about fine-tuning the little things and the mindset, and that's probably going to be that next step for him.
Well, you can also stand on the mound and pout about what's going on and then continue to get your brains beat in. And I'm not saying that that happened, but that can happen with pitchers. You know, I've seen it happen with pitchers before. You can tell by the way they're just strutting about the mound that they don't feel real comfortable in the situation, and they're trying to do things that they shouldn't be doing, and that's just not a way to win a Major League Baseball game.
No, that's not going to lead to a lot of success. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to some of your Twitter questions out there. But first, it's Pride Night at Petco Park on September 1st. Enjoy a night of networking, entertainment, and baseball as the Padres take on the Rangers at 7:10. The first 1,000 fans to purchase Pride Night tickets will receive a Pride-themed Padres hat. Tickets available at Padres.com/Pride. More Padres Social Hour presented by United right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We're back at the AMR studios. He's Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Mike Grace. He's a doctor. He's a social media expert. He brings knowledge to Padres Social Hour. Mm-hmm. And going to get to a couple questions, a couple tweets here. First, our buddy Cranky Ed on Twitter. First off, he doesn't realize that I'm not Jesse, so that's a little fun. I'm Mike. Hi, Ed. First off, he says,
is Ed actually watching the show?
Ed?
Cranky Ed.
I got to assume so. He's tweeting in about it and listening to what we're saying. He just doesn't know I'm not Jesse. Kurt, couldn't agree more about Solarte sticking to batting lefty. Much more effective. So Cranky Ed agrees with you there. But then he says, hey, Jesse and Kurt, do you really see much in Melvin Upton, 222 hitter? I'm ready to see Jankowski. Melvin's an interesting case. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into his participation with this team.
Melvin does confuse me a little bit, and I could see where he could confuse fans or for fans to think like that caller right there. Caller? I'm used to doing radio.
Caller, you're on.
Yeah, you're on, caller. Where he gives the effect of not hustling. And you know what? I truly don't believe that. I've watched him very closely because I called him out the first time he ever crossed home plate, and he almost got tagged out, if you can
remember.
Right,
he didn't slide.
Exactly. He didn't slide, and I called him out on it, and I was mistaken, and I apologized for it, and I watched the replay over and over and over again, and it really wasn't his fault. It was the guy that on deck, not telling him what to do, was really the guy at fault. But still, you have to run harder. And you have to slide a lot of the times, especially when you're as fast as he is. But I think Melvin Upton's one of those guys that he has such great natural ability. It looks like at times that he's not hustling. And I think he knows when he gets a jump on the ball or when the ball's first hit, whether or not he's going to be able to get to it or not. There's been a couple of times where balls have been hit over his head where he knew right away, more than any of us, that he wasn't going to get to the ball. And it looked like he was kind of loafing after them.
But he's setting himself up to play it off the wall in the best position.
I think that's the case right there.
You know, and I think that's a great point because we've seen guys before. Ruben Rivera comes to mind as a guy who had so much speed and natural ability that he could coast and get under almost any ball. He was playing at the same time as Eric Owens. Now, Eric Owens wasn't as gifted, but he hustled his butt off to get to every ball. He had to dive for every ball. It was just a different view. I think some of that happens with Melvin because he is. He's so fast. He's so smooth. And everything he does in the field, it's very, very natural for him. So it can look like he's not trying really hard. And, you know, you had the play on the last road trip where he missed the ball in center field. It led to several runs. And that's going to happen with almost every big league ball player out there. It just happens sometimes. They're humans playing a game. But it does look bad. I understand what he's saying. At the plate, who knows? I mean, he's had some really successful years in Tampa with the power, getting on base, stealing bases. I mean, he was like a 30-30 guy in Tampa. So you know that potential is there. He's just got to figure out how to get back to it if he wants to be an everyday player. And I don't know how he gets there. That's up to Mark Kotze, Alonzo Powell, and Melvin Upton to figure out. But he's got that talent. It's kind of like a lottery ticket. If he ever puts it together, you've got a really special player.
I think he's got some ability. I don't know if he's a 30-30 player.
He was.
Certainly not 30 home runs. I don't think he's a 30-run home run a year guy. He did it down in Tampa Bay.
Right.
Is he going to do it again? What caused him to do it that year? I don't have the slightest idea. But I think if Melvin Upton Jr. goes up there and he tries to hit home runs, he's taken away from himself and the team. He's got to be able to do the little things. And you know what? He can do them. He's shown the fans of San Diego, he's shown us, and he's shown the ball club that he can do the little things. He can bunt to get on base. He even tried to lean into a couple of pitches a couple of different times to get on base. He's a guy that'll take a walk to get on base. And he's really shown me a lot when it comes to that part of it. I would like to see him put it together a little bit more. And he's a guy that needs to work on going the other way and getting inside the ball.
A lot to work on, but a lot of promise there. It'll be really interesting. I mean, he's under contract, and unless the Padres aren't going to find a way to trade him, most likely, so unless they for some reason decide that they're going to cut ties with him and eat the contract, he's going to be a part of this team, and you just got to figure out the best way to make him the most valuable.
I think they know that, and
absolutely.
I think they're working on it, and I think it'll get done. I think he's gotten a little bit better since he's gotten here. I think the Braves probably worked on it with him last year. But sometimes when you get it in your head that you can hit the ball over the fence, it's hard to change. It's hard to want to do it in certain situations. And this ball club has played in a lot of close games since Melvin Upton Jr. Joined this ball club and the 25-man roster. And when you have a tendency to be in a close game, you come up in a situation where home runs are going to make difference. That's not a good situation when you're trying to get a guy away from that. And I think he's fallen into that trap quite a few times since he's been here.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of players fall into that trap over the years. I think you talk about it a lot with Lexi. When he gets a home run, he kind of changes his approach, and you get a little nervous for the next few games.
Hey, been there before. Know about that.
That's good stuff. Another tweet from Brent. He says, with the show of power last night, do you think there will ever be a brownout? #Padres, #clever. Got one today. Potter's going to wear the brown pinstripes today.
Exactly.
That's a lot of fun.
It is.
Right?
It is.
I like to see the brown pinstripes out there. Hey, thinking about –
you love to see home runs.
Yeah.
You love to see home runs. But you love to see home runs coming off the bats of guys that are home run hitters. Guys that hit line drives, the ball that that Carlos Gonzalez hit the other night. I'm not sure what ballpark it was. But it had exit speed of like 110 miles an hour, and he hit it opposite field. When players get it in their mind that they can do that, I don't think it was in Colorado either. I'm not positive about that, but I think he was on the road when he hit that home run.
They were at the Mets, and he's hit like 15 home runs in his last 30 games. He's been on
unbelievable tear. And he's starting to cool off the last game or two, which is a good thing for the Padres because they're going to Colorado tomorrow.
But, yeah, he's been unbelievable. And I mean, that's a guy that has all fields power. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, you've got Will Myers, you've got Kemp, and you've got Upton who are – and Jerko on some level because he has a bit of a home run swing too. But, you know, you talk about a guy like Yonder Alonso. He's kind of got more of that line drive swing, and he's the kind of guy that you do want to see hitting the ball in the gaps, hitting line drives.
Hey, you got to pick your spots. You have to pick your spots at the major league level. If you're not a Justin Upton and you're not as strong as that guy is – hitting the ball on the outside part of the plate, the right center field, when you're looking for a ball from the middle of the plate in to pull and hit at the left center field. I mean, so guys just can't do that. Justin Upton can. He's one of the few guys that can do it. And when guys on your team see that you do that, they stand behind you in the batting cage and they watch you do that, it's just a natural tendency to try to do it also. And guys get – these guys are smart. They're not stupid players. They got here for a reason. They're good major league hitters. I've seen them perform over the last couple of years. The Jerkos of the world, the Will Venables of the world, the Yonder Alonzos of the world, Amarista. Those four guys in particular, when they hit the ball the other way, they are so much better hitters.
No, I absolutely agree. And, you know, like you said, baseball's really hard.
It is hard.
I mean, that's the bottom line. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Going to get to the lineup as well as a few more of your tweets, questions on the Twitter coming up right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. Not much more special out there in the baseball world than the Major League debut. Had a fun one last night. One start, one win for our guest, Colin Ray. He is on the Cholula hot seat. Colin, welcome to the show. Did you get any sleep last night? I mean, that had to be probably the highlight of your career at this point, I've got to guess, right?
Yeah, definitely the highlight of my career. Didn't get much sleep last night. Had a bunch of family and friends in town. And we kind of hung out after the game last night for a little while, and most of them flew back this morning, but there's still a few of them that'll be coming to the game today. So,
little hangover from the after party, you think, on the flights today?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, a few of them. Yeah, I'm sure.
So they fly into Boise and drive from there?
We're from Iowa.
Iowa. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's our
the other I.
Boise.
State.
The other. Yeah, that's the other state.
Yeah, a bunch of my friends flew in yesterday morning. They were at the airport the whole night. Flew in yesterday morning. We're up all night last night and then flew back this morning, so they didn't get much sleep.
Wow.
From Cascade, Iowa, right, yeah. A small town, about 2,000 people, right? You had about 5% of the town seen, like here last night cheering you on. That had to be a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, it sure was. It was an experience that I'll never forget, that's for sure.
Kind of take us through the night. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of preparation, whether it's going through the scouting report, then your physical preparation. At what point do you start getting nervous, and then what's it like when you first take that field to get your big league career started?
Yeah, I think playing catch and warming up before the game was when I was most nervous. I think I wasn't as nervous as I thought I was going to be, but I definitely had a lot of adrenaline going. And the guys, I mean, everyone on the team was behind me, and they were giving me nothing but support. You know, 2 days ago leading up to the start and, you know, yesterday. And so it was, yeah, it was awesome.
And then –
Mike and I were talking,
Yeah, go ahead.
Were talking earlier before you came and working with Austin.
Yeah.
And you guys did some things that really surprised me that you don't see a young pitcher do a lot, especially when you got a catcher that's just as young. And that's throw balls higher in the strike zone, trying to get guys out.
Yeah.
Early in the game also. Did you and him work on that? Did you talk about that? And what makes you do that?
Well, I don't know. Most of the time, I wouldn't say it was on purpose. It was just kind of, you know, I was leaving balls up, and it just happened to work out the way it did. But, yeah, Austin's, I mean, he's so advanced for his age behind the plate. And I've thrown to him in the past in the minor league, so it was nice to get back to throwing to him.
A lesson learned, maybe?
Absolutely.
With throwing a ball up in the strike zone with these big league hitters?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's something Kirk's talked a lot about, is that he really wants Padres pitchers to kind
of
pitch up in the zone, change the eye level. Is that something you've worked on in the past?
Oh, yeah, it's something that I try and use, you know, as part of my game. But, yeah, I mean, there's many ways that you can attack hitters, and I guess that's just another option.
Talking to Colin Ray about his big league debut last night. So leadoff single, then the walk, but then you get out of it with the double play. Did that kind of change your mentality, kind of change your nerves at that point to be able to get that big double play in the first inning?
Yeah, it definitely helped. That was huge, and I know that I think it was the second inning too where Amarisa had a great play at short. And then Venable in center field too. So those are definitely game changers right there.
Well, you're going to get some balls that are picked at the major league level that went for base hits and doubles in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
So that's always a good thing. But the play that Amarista made was one thing, but the play you made was another. We see that worked on all the time in spring training. That's where it's worked on.
Right. Yeah.
And you see pitchers just wing the ball into center field. I mean, you made just an absolutely perfect throw after catching, kind of whirling around and catching the ball where you were off balance a little bit. That was an athletic play. And as much as that calmed you down, you told me before we went on that Brandon Phillips' base hit calmed you down.
Well, I was actually talking about my hit at the plate.
Oh, your hit.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying Brandon Phillips' base hit
calmed you
down.
No, that didn't really calm me down.
I was kind of –
It makes
I
a little more
that
sense
was kind
now,
of
straight. Right?
Yeah,
that
it
was,
makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, that wasn't the greatest pitch, and he took advantage of it. But, yeah, I think double play just kind of reacted and – was able to make a good throw somehow, and you know they made a great turn.
Were you surprised when you got your base hit?
Yeah, I was very surprised.
Well, you only had like 9 minor league at bats, right? Because you pretty much have gone. You didn't get too much time at AAA, so there's not a lot of hitting for pitchers down there. And
right.
In your first big league at bat, you get the single there. That had to be like you said, unexpected.
That's
but a really cool experience, right?
Yeah, it was cool. It was awesome standing in the box and. I mean, I just got lucky.
Don't pay any attention. We play music all the time here.
It just happens.
Yeah, it's all good.
So, you know, you weren't in big league camp. You weren't on a lot of, you know, prospect lists, so to speak. But you had such an amazing year so far at AAA. I mean, a 1 ERA. Did something click for you this year? Did something change? I mean, you had a good minor league career up to that point. But to take that next step, what do you attribute that to?
I think a lot of credit just has to go to the coaches that I've been around in the Padres system. You know, pitching coaches like, you know, Willie Blair, I had him in Fort Wayne. You know, I had Brownswell Patrick last year and this year in AAA and Jimmy Jones in AA. And just being around those guys who have had major league experience and knowing what worked for them and just kind of talking – you know, with other players, especially in AAA and AA that have been in the big leagues, you know, how they've had success and just learning from them and trying to bring it into your game.
Is there anything specific? Like, did you add a pitch, change your approach? Did your command improve? I mean, that's a pretty dramatic jump to the success that you had. I mean, you got the start, you got to play in the Futures game. I mean, that's quite an impressive step in your career.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is I've always had people around me that have supported me and believed in me, but I don't know if I truly believed it myself. And I think towards the end of last year and this year is when I really took a step forward and, you know, telling myself that, you know, I belong I'm here for a reason and I belong and, you know, I believe in my stuff and believe in myself, and I think that's where it took a jump forward.
That's the key right there.
Confidence, right?
Absolutely. It's the confidence factor, knowing that you can go out and do it. The pitch that really impressed me last night that you threw was your cutter. The location of it, and I'm not talking about Brandon Phillips' hit. Was that a cutter?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay. That was the only – I don't think you threw too many bad ones after that.
Yeah.
So maybe you just give up a hit to the first hitter and you're good to go from there.
Yeah, sometimes it works like that, but it's a pitch that I've been working on this last year and this year, so you know, it's a work in progress, so we'll see how it goes.
Good stuff here with Colin Ray. Colin, congratulations on the first big league victory last night. That was a lot of fun for us fans to watch. I'm guessing it was a lot of fun for you, for your family, so congratulations on that. Best of luck with your next start and as you continue with the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good luck.
Appreciate you. He was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Special thanks out to Colin Ray for stopping by Padres Social Hour. More right after this.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We're back at the AMR Studios here in the Western Metal Supply Company building. Our thanks to Colin Ray. Really cool to catch up with him after his big league debut, first major league victory. That was cool to talk to him. He's a good kid, man.
He looked like he had gotten some sleep.
I think that surprised me. Yeah. Well, he just came from a workout. I mean, he got
70 people in from home and his high school and college buddies. You got to figure they went out and partied last night. They all stayed downtown.
I'm sure they had
got
a good
his
time.
First major league victory last night. First major league hit.
Yeah.
He had a lot to celebrate.
Yeah, he really did. And good for him. That was a lot of fun. Quick tweet here from our buddy Jellyman, another person who also thinks I'm Jesse. I'm not Jesse. I'm Mike. Shields hitting eighth. What the heck is going on, Kurt Bavak? Well, let's take a look at today's lineup. Today's lineup, as always, presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United fly the friendly skies. Everything looks pretty normal there. Solarte, Alonzo, Kemp, Upton, Jerko, Norris, Venable, then Shields in the eight-hole. Amarista batting ninth. He's tried it before.
I don't know what to tell you. It's not just Pat Murphy now. I mean, Ned Yost has been doing this for a couple of years. Tony La Russa started off doing it, you were telling me, Mike. I mean, don't ask me. I don't know. I think they ought to implement a new rule that if the first two hitters make out in the first inning, you can hit your pitcher there.
Oh, a little adjustable lineup.
There you go.
Huh?
Adjustable lineups. I mean, what are they going to do next in the game?
You're changing the face of the game.
No, it's been changed.
That's true. But, no, you're radically changing the face of the game.
Not two.
Well, if you make an adjustable lineup, that would change a lot.
That would be cool.
It would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I guess the theory out there is that it possibly could give your middle of the order guys a few more opportunities at RBIs if you've got a guy in the nine hole coming around for your middle of the order guys. That's the theory. It also gives you a chance to maybe pinch hit a little sooner if you feel good about somebody coming off the bench. Some people agree, some people don't agree. It is different. Second time James Shields has been able to hit in the eight hole, and he's a decent hitter for a pitcher. I know he likes getting up there and swinging it.
Oh no, James can swing the bat. He really can. I'm anxious to see if one of us take him tonight in the challenge, Blooper or myself.
Kurt, you're just a pro. That's Segway right there.
What it's called?
That's called Segway right there.
I thought
there.
That was a thing you ride.
It has two meanings.
Oh,
word.
There you go.
Double entendre. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to get to the Supercuts head-to-head challenge and see if anybody takes James Shields. Join the Padres for Pedal at the Park, an inaugural radio telethon and cycling event on September 12th, benefiting Pedal the Cause and local cancer researching centers. Participate in a one-hour cycling class on the field featuring a DJ, Padres game, post-game party, and more. To register, visit padres.com/pedal. Head-to-head challenge coming up right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Finishing up the show, about half hour till first pitch, Raisel Iglesias taking on James Shields today, and we'll get right to the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Blooper fell behind. Picked up a victory yesterday. He did take the young rookie, so he got the point yesterday. Let's take a look at the standings. What do you got, Bloop? He is back to one behind the couch. Kurt, you have the first choice today. So if you wanted James Shields, there's nothing stopping you from taking him. But is that your choice?
James Shields.
I didn't talk you into it, did I?
No.
Okay. That was your guy.
He's my guy.
All right. I like it. Blooper?
Yonder Alonso.
Any thought behind that choice?
I feel like he always has big hits against the Reds, his former team.
Oh.
Big grand slam earlier in the year. Good game yesterday.
I always love his reasoning.
Yeah, he's starting to think.
Don't.
I think good.
Yeah. That's good. I like that. And I like.
Do you?
Yes, because it's true what he says about players coming back and doing well against their former teams a lot of the times. There's times where guys don't. I think in Alonso's case, he does well against teams. I always did well against teams that traded me away.
Yeah, I could see you being that kind of player.
And against managers that didn't think that highly of me.
Hey, quick stat for you here. Something happened yesterday that hasn't happened since there's been 30 teams in Major League Baseball. Do you know what that was?
How about that?
All home teams won yesterday. It's never happened before.
How about that?
How many of you think scored first?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to say 12.
Blooper?
Seven
scored first. Actually, didn't you tell me it was eight?
Eight scored first.
He doesn't even know his own stats.
Oh, eight. So about half.
About half scored first. All right, thanks, everybody. Really appreciate it. We're back tomorrow, 5:30. Jordan Kruth and Randy Jones. Enjoy the game today.